Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary John McClain. John, how are you? What's going on?
Guys, I'm doing great, getting ready for the Texans' last preseason game, getting closer to the start of NFL season. Only time better than the first game is the start of the playoffs if your team is in it.
Absolutely, no question about it. So, John, on that front with the Texans, I'm curious, just what are your thoughts as you've watched Davis Mills? What do you think the Texans have there, and how do you think the Texans view Davis Mills heading into his second year here?
Everybody views Mills this way. He played well enough over the last five games last year to be given the starting job this year. To see if he continues to improve. If he does, it'll make a huge difference in the draft because they have 11 picks, including two first-rounders, counting the Browns. So, of course, they want the Browns to lose as much as possible. And if he plays well, they can take position players like they did this year. And if he doesn't, then they means they'll be bad and means they'll have a lot of ammunition. Try to trade up and get, say, C.J. Stroud, the top quarterback prospect.
Yeah, it's really interesting, John, because I do think that he is potentially special. I think Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud could be special in this league. But, I mean, after early on last year with Davis Mills, it was very unimpressive. It seemed like he took some leaps there as a player. Like, what do you think his ceiling is in this league?
I have no idea. Nobody does. He started 11 games at Stanford. He was a third-round pick. He was not going to play before December, and they had to play him in the second game when Tyrod Taylor went out. He had to start for like five games. He was awful. Tyrod Taylor came back. He wasn't the quarterback he'd been for the first 1.5 games when they beat the Jaguars, who were favored by 6, and then they were leading Cleveland. In Cleveland when he went down. And so Mills was terrible. In Buffalo, they got beat 40-0 in the rain. He had 4 interceptions. So while he was on the bench watching, when he came back for the last 5 games, he was a different quarterback. And he ended up last season 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 4 in that one game against Buffalo. His second highest quarterback rating of the rookie quarterbacks, Mac Jones, and down the stretch, he was clearly better than Jones, who faded while Mills was thriving. And one of the things that was most impressive about what Mills did, he had the worst running game in the NFL. He had 30th-ranked defense. The Texans were terrible. Mac Jones had a top-5 running game and a top-5 defense. And so I believe over the last 4 or 5 games, he had 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a 104 rating. And you know, he almost beat the Titans in the last game when the Titans needed to win to clinch home field advantage, and they won by 3. Had a great game against the Chargers. Outdueled Justin Herbert here, knocked the Chargers out of the playoffs. So preseason, he has not looked good. First game, New Orleans, 2 series, no first downs, 3 and outs. Last game at L.A., he played the first half and only on the last series, thanks to 2 great catches by wide receivers Philip Dorsett and a touchdown by wide receiver Nico Collins, he's not had a touchdown drive. And against the 49ers tonight in Amazon's first game, he's going to play at least the first half again because he needs to show some consistency. And he was missing 8 starters the first game. Last game, he was missing 3 offensive linemen for the second game in a row. They haven't played Laramie Tunsil or their center, Justin Brent, or their left guard, Kenyon Green, #1 pick. And I suspect those guys will all play tonight against the Niners. And the receivers are set, and the tight ends are set. And the player to keep an eye on is their rookie running back, Damian Pierce from Florida, who averaged 9 yards of carry in the first game, and they held him out of the second game to look at the backups. And I suspect he'll get carries tonight with the first team. But hopefully, if you're a Texans fan, their running game is better because not only were they the worst in franchise history last season, they were 31st in the NFL the year before that. They haven't had a decent running game since 2019 when they won their last AFC South title and beat Buffalo in the playoffs.
So, John, obviously an interesting coaching search for the Texans over the offseason, and Lovie Smith now with the job. What do you make of the challenge now in front of Lovie Smith heading into this first year?
Everybody I see around the country, the so-called experts, as the Texans picking first in the draft, as they did last year, and they didn't. And, like, they've beaten Jacksonville 8 times in a row, and everybody's picking Jacksonville to beat them, and they might, but until they actually do, I'm not going to pick them because I've seen them dominate the Jaguars. Last year, Jacksonville was favored by 6.5 and 5 against the Texans. The Texans beat the hell out of them both times. And that was with David Culley and a ragtag group of players and a rookie quarterback who wasn't supposed to be starting. So I think they'll be a little better this year. I think I may pick them 6-11, and that means they got to run the ball better. Their defense, coached by Lovie Smith, has had 11 sacks in 2 games, but it's against a lot of backups. And they have 4 new starters in the secondary. Seldom. It's rare they have 4 new starters in secondary, but their secondary last year was awful. And they have rookie cornerback Derek Stingley in one corner. The other corner, Steven Nelson, signed as a free agent, his 4th team in 7 years. Safeties, Jalen Petrie, a second-round pick from Baylor, who's been terrific in preseason and the offseason. And then Jonathan Owens, the fiancé of Simone Biles. Jonathan has been there, this is his 3rd year, and he's earned a starting job. So they will be tested early and often when they open the season against Matt Ryan and the Colts. As far as Lovie Smith, he calmed the waters. It was total turmoil, firing David Culley after 1 season, which I thought was preposterous, but I was the only person in the media here that thought so. And I just thought with the group they stuck him with and how he won 4 and people thought it would be less, could have won 3 more, I thought he deserved a second chance. And the whole idea, orchestrated by their executive VP of football ops, Jack Easterby, was to get his close friend, Josh McCown, the head coaching job, and they came so close to announcing him. And then they stepped back because of the Brian Flores lawsuit and said, well, let's take another look at this. They'd interviewed 6 candidates, and they said, well, we haven't interviewed Lovie. What about Lovie? So I asked Lovie Smith, do you want to interview? He said, of course. He's always wanted a third chance to be head coach in the NFL. First team Bears worked out very well, went to Super Bowl coach of the year, but got fired after a 10-6 season. Then he goes back to Tampa where he'd worked under Tony Dungy. They had the worst team in the league. They drafted Jameis Winston. They improved by 4 victories, and he got fired. It's because their offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter, who was coaching Jameis Winston, people thought, well, my God, he make a leave and go somewhere else. So they fired Lovie Smith, who I think made a mistake going to the University of Illinois, where he was fired after a 5th year. So he has calmed the waters here. How far can he get them? Can they improve under him? Yes. Can they get a winning record under him, say, next year? Yes. Can he get back to the Super Bowl? Who knows? It all depends on the quarterback. Nick Caserio, the GM, got a 6-year contract and $5 million a year. And you don't see GMs, a lot of them get 6-year contracts, and because they knew it was going to be a massive rebuild, and they wanted him to know, you do what you want to do. So he's basically torn the franchise down and started over. And he didn't have first or second round picks the first year. This year he had acquired an extra first round pick, and so he said they got another first-round pick in 2023. My prediction for this team is if Davis Mills pans out and they believe he's their quarterback going into 23, means he will have played well. And I think in 23, based on having 11 picks, 2 number ones, over $100 million under the cap, then we will be talking about the Texans being a possible wild card contender in 2023. If Mills doesn't pan out, then they're still going to be one of the worst teams in the league with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and of course, I was going to ask you about Stingley, but you laid out that all-new secondary there, John. How about the defensive front? Greenard in there and Kirksey and some of that. Like, how impactful can those guys be? There's not a lot of star power in there, but anybody in there that people should know who people aren't really talking about?
Yeah, they don't have star power on this team. You know, they used to have Deshaun Watson at quarterback and J.J. Watt at defensive end and DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver, Jadeveon Clowney at defensive end, Tyrann Mathieu at safety. That was in 18 when they went 11-5 and lost in the first round here to the Colts, which is Frank Reich's only playoff victory. And now they are devoid of star power. Stingley was a third overall pick. He's been brought along slowly because he had Lisfranc surgery last year at LSU. But you guys saw him as a freshman in a national championship season, and everybody thought that he could have played in the NFL then. So they've ramped it up to have him be 100% ready to go against the Colts. He'll play tonight against the 49ers. He played a little bit in the last game against the Rams. But up front, Jonathan Greenard is their third-year defensive end. He had 8 sacks in 11 games last year, but he couldn't stay on the field. He's in and out of the lineup too much. And they brought in 2 old guys from Buffalo, Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison. Combined, I think they're like 67 years old. But both of them would have been second on the Texans to Greenard in sacks had they been there last year when they had 6.5 and 6. And then they got a guy, free agent from Seattle, Rasheem Green, who had 5.5 sacks, a part-time role. So they've made changes. Their starting tackles are Malik Collins and Roy Lopez. They started last year. Jerry Hughes is going to start it right in. I believe next year, if they don't need a quarterback, that their first pick is going to be a defensive end because they need to bolster the pass rush with younger guys, have more depth up front. Most of the time they play 2 linebackers. Christian Harris from Alabama, he got hurt in camp, and he's being brought along slowly. But they've got some depth. Now, are they going to be good? Who knows? When you don't have a running game and the defense is on the field constantly, they're going to wear down. And they did improve in turnovers. Lovie Smith gets a lot of turnovers. And the reason is he plays a lot of zone. He's a solus. He wants his players facing the ball. He doesn't want them with their backs to the ball. So they'll play a little man. They'll play a little 2-deep coverage, play some of the Tampa 2 in which 2-deep coverage, and then the linebacker drops down the middle of the field. But if they like a 4-man rush, they don't blitz much. And if that 4-man rush can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter who's in the secondary.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. Look at some hot topics around the NFL as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. The legendary John McClain, kind enough to join us this morning, talking all things NFL. We welcome John back to the program now. John, it's interesting. We were talking about Jacksonville yesterday. It was such an unmitigated disaster with Urban Meyer down there last year. What sort of a jump are you expecting from Trevor Lawrence in year 2, given Doug Peterson in the fold down there now in Jacksonville?
Everybody thought he was a generational talent quarterback, and he is. But he was coached terribly last year. He had a terrible season. Jacksonville earned his 2nd pick in a row. I think there ought to be some kind of rule that you can't get the 2nd pick 2 years in a row. Too bad it's not like the Premier League where you get dropped out of the league if you're consistently bad, because the Jaguars be out of it most of the time. But I think with Doug Peterson, he's brought some calmness there. Good guy's got a Super Bowl ring. Yeah, people talk about Nick Foles playing well for him. Well, Frank Reich coached Foles, and Frank Reich's not there. So I'm interested to see what Peterson can do. Now he has mostly different coaches. And I expect with Travis Etienne coming back after missing his rookie season, James Robinson is coming off an Achilles injury. You know, he was a tremendous undrafted free agent discovery for them 2 years ago. So they have to run the ball better. But I don't see how they can be as bad as they were. If they can win 5 games, I think the fans over there should be ecstatic.
John, I'd love to get your thoughts on the whole Brady Raiders, supposed deal that was blown up by Gruden. And apparently we found out now that Derek Carr is the quote unquote MF-er that Tom Brady was talking about. At least it appears that way. I know one thing that's interesting about that whole thing to me, John, is, you know, I think in retrospect, everybody looks at that and says, how could anyone make that kind of decision or think that way? But a lot of teams at that time were uncertain Brady would be what he's been in Tampa Bay, right?
Absolutely. And of course, nobody with the Raiders, including Mark Davis, can act like they knew anything about that because that was tampering. It's amazing how many times Brady's been involved in tampering, and not since Deflategate, which had nothing to do with tampering, has he suffered any kind of consequences. But he has been involved in a lot of controversy, and we give him a free pass because he's got seven rings and he's the greatest quarterback in history. And it looked like Gronk brought that out of Dana White. It was in an interview, and he coaxed it out. And White is a diehard Patriots fan. And I'm thinking, well, if he had any kind of influence, why didn't he coax him to go back to the Patriots, his favorite team? And Brady will never answer this, of course, any more than he'll announce if indeed he was filming The Masked Singer, because if indeed he was, he's got to lie about it because that's got to be all about secrecy. And I tell you what, that's gotten The Masked Singer big ratings because everybody's going to watch every week and wonder if Tom Brady is going to pop out from behind the mask. And who knew he could sing? And it's a Fox station, so Brady, even if he didn't film it, should keep quiet about it and let social media explode about the possibility. That thing about the Raiders and going on LeBron James's barbershop show on cable and saying is that MF-er, everybody thought he was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo because he grew up in San Mateo, California, loving the 49ers, going to the games, see Joe Montana with his daddy, and that's the one that would have made sense. But saying that about Derek Carr, that's kind of a stretch. Of course Carr's not Tom Brady, but nobody else is, and the Raiders made the playoffs last year, and Carr had his best season. That'll just motivate him even more.
John McClain on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. John, how big is, I guess, how warm do you think the seat is for Mike McCarthy heading into this year in Dallas?
I've talked to several friends of mine who cover the team and asked them, what does McCarthy have to do to keep his job? Because everybody knows Jerry Jones wants to hire Sean Payton, and they said they think he has to go to the Super Bowl. And I said, you're kidding me. So if he wins a couple of playoff games, he's going to be fired, and they said, who'd you rather have, Sean Payton or Mike McCarthy? Now, I don't think they're going to win a couple of playoff games. They should win the division, and because I'm not picking Philadelphia to beat them. They clearly have the best quarterback in the NFC East. But Sean Payton, I think New Orleans is going to drop significantly without him because not only is Payton a great coach, he handled all personnel for the Saints. And so the only problem with the Cowboys, head coach doesn't handle all the personnel. Now, maybe Jerry Jones would acquiesce to him, their friends. It would cost a lot. If I'm the Saints, I'd say, you're not getting my former coach for less than John Gruden brought to the Raiders, which was two twos and $8 million. Now, I don't know if the Saints will drive a hard bargain like that, but they think whatever it is, Jerry Jones will give in. And I don't know if McCarthy will coach again. You know, he might. But people are really down on him after last season, and especially the brain-dead decisions they made in their playoff loss. And they need to make sure they don't continue to commit as many unnecessary and undisciplined penalties as they have.
Speaking of the legend, John McClain, and I'm going to stick with NFC coaches, John. And I think we can all agree this guy is highly entertaining. But do you think Dan Campbell's a good coach?
We don't know. You know, he's a tough guy. He's got a great personality. You know, I've watched the Hard Knocks. I've never missed the Hard Knocks. Not the end season, but the training camp, going back to the first one. And he's a fun guy to watch. And sometimes some of the things he says are kind of hokey. And he tries to be funny, and sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. And he's got some coaches that love to scream, like Deuce Staley, his offensive coordinator, until he lost his voice this week. And They lost a couple games last year for bad clock management, and he got blasted. So it's a big test for him in his second season, and I don't know how anybody could know if he's a good coach, number one, because he doesn't have a lot of talent, but number two, he has blown some games, and there's a lot of coaches that blow games on clock management, decisions, and lack of discipline. They just want the Lions to be better.
John, how much of a difference do you think Matt Ryan is going to make as compared to Carson Wentz in Indianapolis?
I saw Carson Wentz play two of his best games against the Texans. They beat the hell out of the Texans both times, and he played really well. Matt Ryan, if you look at everything he did in Atlanta last year, he was terrible. Now, he didn't have any talent around him, didn't have a running game, didn't have Calvin Ridley. Leo Jones, of course, was in Nashville, and he had a rookie tight end and Kyle Pitts. That's all he had. So is he hitting the wall, or is he going to be rejuvenated? He's got a great running game built around Jonathan Taylor. They don't have great receivers. They don't have tight ends. You know, when Jack Doyle used to torment the Texans, and he's retired. So it's not like he stepped into a situation like, say, inherited A.J. Brown in a trade. So I think this, he'll be better than he was last year. Will the Colts be good enough to challenge the Titans? Sure, they'll challenge the Titans. It's a two-team race. And I think the whole key on that race is can King Henry stay, you know, on his throne? Can he do it the whole season? Because he's best running back in the NFL. There's nobody dominates. And think about all the play action that Derrick Henry helps Ryan Tannehill have. There's people around the league. Oh, is Malik Collins going to start? I'm like, give me a break. You know, Tannehill played bad without Henry, and I think we all know Henry wasn't the same running back when he came back. But as long as he's in there, that play-action game is going to work. But trading A.J. Brown has got to have some fallout. Maybe helps the Colts stay until the end. But I think it's going to be a very fun and interesting race between those two teams with their veteran quarterbacks.
John, what am I missing with Seattle and this quarterback situation and what Pete Carroll signed up for this year?
It is amazing. They have all this talent at skill positions. They have Lockett, Metcalf at wide receiver. They have Noah Fant, a really good tight end they got from Denver. They had Rashad Penny, who was second to Jonathan Taylor in rushing over the last six games. They draft running back Kenneth Walker the third, so they got depth there. They drafted Charles Cross, left tackle, with their first pick. They drafted another tackle. In the third round, they let Dwayne Brown go. They've got everything on offense to be great except one thing. And I think, boy, Pete Carroll better hope his decision to go with Geno Smith and maybe Drew Lock. It's kind of like when we all thought Dick Vermeil was crazy when he elevated this guy, Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner, who nobody knew anything about, it bounced around football, and people are, why in the world is he doing that? And, of course, the rest is history. But they must see something in Geno Smith that other people have not seen. I know they were interested in Watson early on, and Watson's people told him thanks, but no thanks. He doesn't want to move across the country and play in the Pacific Northwest. I thought, sure, they would try to trade for Mayfield. And to have him healthy, motivated by proving people wrong, motivated by playing for a new contract, but they stuck with Geno Smith, and they're talking about Jimmy G. Would the Niners trade him within the division? I just don't understand what's going on in Seattle with their quarterback situation.
Well, John, you've been incredibly kind with your time. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Robbie, Joe, Michelle, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it, and hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You as well. The legendary John McClain, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. There's one thing about the Colts he said there that's very interesting to me. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Seafood Sensation. Seafood Sensation is a lively restaurant in the heart of Nashville that uses the best ingredients and provides a great atmosphere as well. Get half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to the legendary John McClain for joining us in the last segment. Joe, there's perhaps no one that I enjoy listening to talking football more than I do John McClain. Love that guy.
Especially when he starts talking about like a team or player who's really bad. I feel like talking or tweeting about that, he comes with a certain bite that no one else can deliver.
I hope he keeps that bite on Twitter when watching the Texans play this year. That's probably my favorite part about the Houston Texans is in general is just watching John McClain tweet about him as they screw up out there. It's amazing.
Oh, it is. It is fantastic.
So he said something there about the Colts that is pretty interesting to me. Like, he seems to be one of the few guys in the national media that doesn't feel like Matt Ryan's just going to go in there and light it up. Like, he said Matt Ryan was terrible last year. So, look, I think there's a great chance that he's better than he was last year in Atlanta. But John McClain, one of the few people that we've heard and had here on the show that seem to be maybe not quite as high on Matt Ryan to the Colts as others.
Yeah, and he's right. It's just really an interesting situation. This idea of this massive upgrade. Now, granted, you got a massive upgrade from the wild swings with Wentz and the off the field stuff. I get that, but like Matt Ryan at his best, how does that compare to Carson Wentz at his best? Which, by the way, we did see some last year. There were some stretches in some games where Carson Wentz was dealing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just hard with Matt Ryan. I think there's going to be more consistency, but what's his highest level now as a quarterback? He's going to love having Jonathan Taylor in a running game, but he's also go back to Atlanta and who he was throwing to and take it to now who he's throwing to. And you could say he's gone the wrong way in that area. It's a pretty important part of being a quarterback.
It's a pretty important part of being a quarterback, and look, it's going to be really fascinating. That race is a race we're going to discuss all year long because I feel like it's going to be close, and it's probably going to go down to the last couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. You know, everybody's writing off Jacksonville and Houston, which I am too. They are – like Houston to me is interesting from the standpoint of, as he brought up, they got a ton of cap space. If Davis Mills – you know, all my jokes aside on Davis Mills – if he actually is a good player, which he was at the end of last year, now it was a very, very limited sample size. But if he comes in and he plays well this year, I am interested to see like how they view him moving forward. Like, do they view him as a potential long-term answer at quarterback, or is he just a stopgap and they're going to be, you know, somewhat bad again this year, and then all of a sudden they're finding their quarterback of the future in the draft next year? Like, first off, I think it's a really difficult situation that Lovie Smith has stepped into here, and I don't know really how that's going to end for him. But the how they view Davis Mills and that roster, which, by the way, is just not very good, is going to be pretty interesting this year. Like, I guess Brandon Cooks is their number one receiver?
Yeah, and Cooks is good, and I actually do like Nico Collins. But, yeah, Cooks is kind of one of those guys who, if he was on a non-Dogwater team, you know, he'd probably get a little bit more love. But it's really going to be interesting because if Davis Mills is good and John McClain's right and they go like, you know, they go like 6-11 or whatever, well, that means they're going to miss out on C.J. Stroud. And I personally think C.J. Stroud could be that guy. Like, his accuracy is, his ability and how he got better through last year from start to finish, I think he could be like clear number one pick QB and a guy who could be like a generational quarterback. I think he could be possibly that good. So if Davis Mills is good, great, but then you're like picking like ninth in the draft or whatever, you're going to miss out on him. I suppose you could still get maybe you could get a Bryce Young. I don't know. Bryce Young is a harder – because of his size, it's harder to project him. I think C.J. Stroud has a great chance to be the number one pick. But as good, if Davis Mills as a good quarterback, is that enough? You could kind of be stuck in purgatory with that, whereas if you just bottom out this year like a lot of people expect you to, you might be better off long term.
So you're saying that the Texans should probably try to overlook Davis Mills this year? Because that could be pretty tough.
Is that even possible?
He's a tough guy to overlook.
I don't know. Yes. Thank you for finding a way there. You found a way.
I always do. They're rarely good, but I always do. So is Mike McCarthy going to be the first coach to get fired this year? Like the idea of them having to get to the Super Bowl for him to keep his job to me is absurd.
Well, I think this is his last year coaching the Cowboys. Also, by the way, it doesn't help that Tyron Smith now is hurt for them. And that's a loss. Not sure exactly how long. I do think that this is his – I think that the whole scenario that John laid out there with Peyton is absolutely way too much smoke to not think it happens. But as far as this year, who's the most likely in-season – firing, like the hottest seat in terms of like you may not make it through the season? I guess he'd have to be right in there. Is there anybody else like obvious who could be like
Matt Rule?
The Giants just made a change. Yeah, that's true. Baker's, yeah, that's true. But I mean, gosh, are they really expected to be good? And Baker may save his job.
He might.
But that's probably. I mean, if the Cardinals are terrible, could Kingsbury be?
Could be.
After the way that they faded last year, they've been kind of a fading team. If they're just bad, you know, maybe a Kingsbury. And, you know, a lot of that question does come down to which itchy trigger finger owners are we talking about? And
for
certainly
sure.
Jerry Jones fits that bill.
He's at the top of that list. I don't think there's any question about that. Like, it's just an interesting year from a coaching standpoint. You got a lot of, first off, new coaches, and then, like, you know, you got McDaniel down there in Miami. He is in no danger of losing his job. Like, I just think that there's, as you look at McCarthy, how do you feel if you're him heading into this year, knowing everything surrounding this job right now? It's year two. You're getting paid a lot of money to be a coach. I know, but nobody's feeling sorry for you, but it kind of feels like you're a lame duck heading into this year.
Yeah. Well, look, first of all, no one's turning down the Cowboys, and he wanted to be a head coach again, and good for him to get a chance. You know what you're signing up for, right? If you go there, and if you don't go there and have wild success right away, you know. So to me, hey, if I'm McCarthy, it's like, got another opportunity. I got the best team in my division. I got the best quarterback in my division. And if – I do think that, like, if the Cowboys make a run, like, let's say they get to, like, the NFC title game, that might save him. Might?
I mean, I would think so.
Although then Jerry would just be pissed about however they lost that NFC title game. Yeah. Hey, man, you got one more shot. Go win the Super Bowl, Mike.
I've been there.
There you go. Good luck.
25 years. But, yeah, let's get mad about that for sure. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Could a second-round pick for the Titans be in trouble of not making the roster in general? We'll get into that coming up ahead. My friends at FanDuel Sportsbook are here for you this college football season. We're just a couple days away now from college football being back. And right now, new customers can get $150 in free bets guaranteed for week one. Just place a $5 bet, and you can get $150 in free bets if you win or lose. So Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii. They're an 8.5-point favorite coming up this weekend. The Vols are 32.5-point favorites against Ball State a week from today. I think I like Tennessee to cover in that game, but you take it any way you want to take it. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great odds, and when you win, you'll get paid quickly as well. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Sign up with promo code ROB and place a $5 bet to get $150 in free bets guaranteed to kick off the college football season. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. This September 10th and 11th, the Chainsmokers hit Music City at the Blended Wine and Music Festival. 24 bands, 2 stages, 1 weekend, all under the Nashville skyline. Buy your tickets now at blendedfestival.com. Once again, that's blendedfestival.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are talking Titans and taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our coverage of Titans training camp presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. So, Joe, we talked yesterday about D-Mace's thoughts on the Dylan Radin situation. Now, Jared adding it to the mix today on our show, saying a 75% chance in his mind that Dylan Radin is not on the final roster next week. So I ask you, how much of a chance do you think it is? And I'm not asking for like specifics here, but how in danger do you think Dylan Radin is of not being on this roster come final cuts next week?
Yeah, Jared's takes are like, it's like Sex Panther cologne. It's like 60% of the time it works every time.
That's right.
75 seems a little high. But my guess right now would be that Dylan Radin would still be on the team. It's hard to evaluate Dylan Radin against the guys who have just been relegated to the backup level here, right? Obviously, he's been with the ones for the most part at right tackle, and now they're moving around inside. I would still think that he'd have a chance to be a guard tackle, versatile guy who would stay on as a reserve. Here's the thing. If Dylan Radin is so bad that he just falls behind Jamarco Jones and Christian Dillard, whoever you want to name of these guys who aren't sniffing the ones with the Titans, then, man, did they really go far in giving him that opportunity, right? Now, let's be realistic. Of course, you're going to give a second-round pick every chance, but is he that bad? He's that bad that all of a sudden it's like, nah, you're just gone, man.
You're off the team.
You're almost our starting right tackle. Nah, you're cut. That's quite a plummet. Now, we don't know if they add anyone next week, and they certainly may, and they may really want to look at that. And if that's the case, then I think it becomes more likely. But right now, no, I would not predict that he will be cut, and I think 75% is a little high.
Joe, some news from Titans practice. John Glennon putting this out there, Ben Arthur as well. No Treylon Burks to begin Titans practice today. So it looks like he left a little bit early yesterday, and now Treylon Burks not out there again today. Your concern level with Treylon Burks as we sit here in the final week of the preseason on August 25th, heading into the final game this weekend, not on the field today?
Well, certainly not ideal at all for him to miss any time. And he had the little injury last week. I think it was last week, right? Or was it the week before?
It was last week.
It was last week, I think, with the sleeve. He comes back with the sleeve, takes, you know, partial reps. I mean, he's fine in the game, plays a ton of the game. Now he leaves early yesterday. He's back off. A lot of times you're going to be very cautious with players. So, obviously, for his sake, for the Titans' sake, you know, they need to hope this is not some long-term thing, but every single day and rep matter to him right now. For the most part, he's been a participant in camp. He made more splash plays early than once you got to the midpoint of camp, but he's still a guy who has a ways to go, I think, to be like a starting receiver in the NFL who can play down in, down out, and he can have trust and chemistry with Tannehill and do all the things you have to do. It is not be fast and run a route. There's a lot more to it than that. So they don't need him to be missing much time here, that's for sure.
Got a rookie question for you. Which rookies had the better camp, Roger McCreary, Kyle Phillips?
Oh, I like that question. You know, it's such an interesting comparison because I immediately think of Kyle Phillips because of how many days after a slow start, by the way, he's been kind of the talk, right? So in terms of, ooh, look at that, it's not close. But that's the thing. There's a lot of not looking at Roger McCreary because he's covered well. So yep. That's a good question.
Thank you.
I guess I guess I'd look at McCreary. When you talk about you're inside because Molden's hurt and you're with the ones and you look the part, and now you're outside, Molden comes back, you look the part. Oh, go back inside, Molden's hurt again. You're a rookie. I think I'd go with him. And again, he may start, Farley may start, they both may start. That's possible too. Either way, I think both of them, Farley and McCreary, are going to be good, you know, big factors for the Titans this year. They're both going to get torched at times too, so be ready for that. But I think they're going to help raise the level of play at that position this year.
By the way, Caleb Farley will be joining us on the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that as well. We'll catch up with the first-round pick of the Titans from last year. Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I like how Stillman left it at 75%, so when Radins is on the roster, he can say, I told you there was a 25% chance he'd stick. That way he can look like a hot take and still not be wrong. This is from Dennis on the text line.
I still love that someone on the text line yesterday came with the which I totally didn't even remember, the Jared take that UC Saros never be a starting goalie in the NHL. I mean, like, if we ever needed someone to keep track of all this stuff, man, Jared's takes would be amazing. Like, if we gather them all up in one spot, oh, it could be so much fun for all of us, for the whole family.
I just, it didn't get that spicy this morning. It was a little spicy yesterday on Jared versus Joe. He gets under your skin every now and then. You know, you're trying to be the Sherpa out there, and let me just tell you, it's not going well lately.
Yeah, I know. As someone trying to guide him through life, I should be a little more patient. So that's what I woke up today saying, you know what? I need to be more patient with Jared. Plus, I didn't have caffeine right away. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I just don't like when he lies and makes stuff up and puts words in my mouth that never were there. Other than that, it's fine.
Also, some news from Titans practice. This coming from John Glennon of SI.com. No Danico Autry. Molden immediately spotted. No Autry or Molden immediately spotted. No Nate Davis, Jamarco Jones immediately spotted either. So it sounds like the same situation with those four as yesterday. No Autry, no Molden, no Davis, no Jamarco Jones.
Yeah, Autry has been...
starting to be a pretty big concern.
Now, Kaharski yesterday tweeted something about a big wrap on the hand because he was doing a little bit of work to the side. So could be a hand wrist type thing there. And Nate Davis, boy, you know, you want him out there. See, with Jamarco Jones on the Raiders discussion, as much time as he's missed and as unimpressive as he's looked when he has been out there, like, to me, I'm keeping Dylan Raiden's over Jamarco Jones based on the information I have. That'd be my guess that they'll do that. So, but we'll see.
Well, the only way
75%.
75%. The only way that changes to me is, I guess they're pretty active next week when some of these cuts start to be made, and maybe there's not just a guy out there. Maybe there's a couple different guys that they like at guard and tackle, and that changes the way that they view the back part of their roster at offensive line. But right now, you know, he said 75% he's off. I'll say 80% that Raiden's on the team. 80%.
Okay.
I'll go 82%.
Do I need – okay, you got 82? I guess I'll do a number two. Raiden's on the team, not being cut. Yeah, put me at – put me at 85. Put me at 85%. 85% stay.
I like it. You know, if we're wrong about this, we're never going to hear the end of it.
Oh, we'll hear about it all day. But again, UC Saros, not a starting goalie. He said Johnny Smith was a bust who sucks. I mean, he must have said it. If he said it once, he said it 200 times over several years.
Pretty amazing stuff. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.